Let's get to a guy who made a few trades in his day. GM in the National Hockey League, scout long time, and now analyst for TSN.
Craig Button joins us once again,
as he always does on Wednesdays. Butts, how are you doing?
I am good, Jason. How are you today?
Oh, I'm outstanding, my man. I'm outstanding. It's fun time of year for somebody who doesn't have to pack his bags and get uprooted if he gets traded. So it's it's good for me. lots to discuss, I guess. Let's first of all go to the Chicago Blackhawks, and man, Stan Bowman, I'll tell you, they do not sit on their hands, and they say, hey, we got to go for it again, and they load up and get Andrew Ladd.
Well, I think one of the things, too, that you got to keep in mind is they're constantly evaluating their group. So, you know, they know who their core is. They committed to their core, and they're not going to waver from that. But then, you know, they signed Panarin, but now they look and see, okay, how does he fit in? How's he working with other players? They watch some of their, prospects, and they get a really good feel for where those guys are at and who can help and who can't. So then now you get to this point in the season, they're a top team. They have to look to find some expiring contracts to help them the best compete for a Stanley Cup or as far as they possibly can. And ultimately that is to try to have the Stanley Cup. But at the same time, you know, they do a really thorough evaluation over a long period of time. So when they get to this point, like Andrew Ladd is very different than Antoine Vermette. And, you know, you go back, they traded for Michael Hanzus a bunch of years back. And, you know, like that to me is the essence of really strong management. What is your core? They've tied up their core. They know they have to let other players go. And then they evaluate their team hard. And then they know what they're exactly looking for. When I look at the Andrew Ladd trade, I say it's a home run because they touched all four bases.
Yeah, it's hard to argue on you know what they gave up. Marco Dano, who they acquired in the trade basically last summer, they ship him off, somebody they didn't feel was part of their future, and they give up a first-round pick, which who knows where it could be for the Hawks. There's no guarantee they get out of the first round. There's no guarantee they don't win the Stanley Cup again. So it could be anywhere from 22 to 30. Craig, you look at some other teams.
But let me just add something to that. Like, yeah. But when they signed Artemi Panarin, I mean, and now they see what they got. That's their first-round pick.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
It is. And I mean, they still have some really good prospects. I mean, they have some, I mean, Philip Deneau's played some games this year. Ryan Hartman's a really good, solid prospect. I mean, they have Nick Smoltz, who's playing with the University of North Dakota. They have some terrific prospects. So, yeah, okay, they traded Saad. They got Dano. But, again, like, I mean, you look at an organization and you go, okay, what's their weakness? Well, when somebody knows what Chicago's weakness is, let me know.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I do not see one. If you're the Washington Capitals, Craig, they made the one tweak to get Weber some defensive depth. Do they need to make any other move, or do they sit with that group?
Well, keep in mind that they did make a move a long time ago when they signed Mike Richards. And that was done with the idea to add some experience, a penalty killer, a face-off guy. And, you know, they've been able to evaluate him and see where he can play and what he can do. And now it gives Brian McClellan a real sense of, does his team need more? You know, last year at this time, they traded for Curtis Glencross. Didn't turn out so well. So now, right now, they've been able to readjust and readapt and understand, okay, we'll try this. Now, I think Mike Richards has been decent. He hasn't been great, but if the price is right for the Washington Capitals, I think they'll look to try to strengthen their team, but I don't see anything major coming down the line for them.
No, and their team's so good, I'm not necessarily sure they need it. The Anaheim Ducks, I believe, if they really want to compete with the Hawks, because if you remember last year, you know, game 6 and 7, they just couldn't match the scoring of them. Do they have to go out and get a scoring winger between now and Monday? Is that a must for the Ducks?
Well, you know, Wilder, I don't know if it's a must. I mean, they went and got David Perron, and David Perron was a better fit for their team than Carl Hagelin. And he really fit in nicely with Ryan Getzlaff, you know, and it spurred on their team. So I think that's significant. You got to keep that in mind as well. You know, you start to think about, okay, they're not going to trade an experienced defenseman for a score. So where are they going to get this score from? Is it Hudler? Is it Radom Verbata? Maybe they get that type of a score. But to me, those are small, light scorers. And I don't know if that's the answer for the Anaheim Ducks if you want to beat the LA Kings and the Chicago Blackhawks.
What about Bodker? Any teams you feel that are a good fit for him? And if you're Arizona, would you trade him?
Yeah, if I'm Arizona, I would trade him. I think you're trying to find a way to get a return on him. But Michael Bodker hasn't scored this year, has he?
Yeah, not in a while, no.
Yeah, I know. So you start to look at these types of scenarios, and what's the cost for Bodker? I'd be scared to deal with Don Maloney. He does a pretty good job of taking advantage of these situations.
Greg Button from TSN joins us. Craig, the Edmonton Oilers, obviously Peter Chiarelli made no mistake. They're going to make some trades. I think major ones likely coming in the offseason. You've been in the conversations, and I'm sure every year is different, so there's no guarantee what conversations happen then will be similar to now. But a guy like Nail Yakubov, do you think you would get a more or an equal return now or in the summer?
No, I think that's a draft that happens closer to that's a trade that happens closer to the draft. I think that's the best way to proceed with Nail Yakubov, and then there's more teams that are looking that might be willing to take a chance depending on how the draft unfolds, depending on how their season unfolds. So I think that's the best time for the Edmonton Oilers.
What, I do want to talk about a pause because it is Pause of Friday. Brandon Davidson and the emergence of Brandon Davidson. Craig, I had a really good interview with him, and he spoke so confidently and so candidly about how his time in the American League really helped him just learn, you know, the mental preparation and how to deal with exhaustion and different things like that. And, you know, of course, he overcame testicular cancer, but he didn't even mention that really. And he's so confident now with the puck on the ice. I know it's a small sample size, but, you know, the Oilers, I look at Davidson and I was tracking his development and I see Jake Muzzin. Now, he doesn't have the advantage of playing with Drew Doughty, but I'm telling you, when I look at Muzzin's junior numbers, I look at Davidson's junior numbers, and I look at their American League numbers, here's a guy who's got a bomb of a shot, who has admitted he's got to put himself in better positions to shoot, that this could be that diamond in the rough in development that the Oilers have so desperately lacked for a long time.
Yeah, desperately. They haven't had it. I mean, they simply have. I mean, people ask me all the time about the Edmonton Oilers with all these top players. Well, after you get by six or seven guys, they're not a very good team. In fact, the drop-off is significant. And why is that? Because they've done a terrible job at drafting after the first round. So now when you look at a player like Brandon Davidson, that's reason for celebration. And they had two more guys that are playing really well that they drafted after the first round last year. Caleb Jones and Ethan Bear. Both playing excellent. Like, they're going to need some time. But for Brandon Davidson, this is a good. It takes time for players to develop. Not everybody jumps to the league. And to me, he's been steady. He's been consistent. He's smart. And I'll tell you what, the fact is that he's been a good player. If he can turn into Jake Muzzin, well, then that's just going to be an absolute bonus for the Edmonton Oilers.
The Oilers have, where's your stand on, you know, right, left defenseman? How imperative is it, do you believe?
I don't know. I mean, ideally, I think you like the balance between a right and a left, but unfortunately, you, in an ideal world, that's what you'd like. But an ideal world doesn't exist. So, you know, you try to find players that can fit in a less than ideal world, and that's adaptability. I traded for Jordan Leopold when he was a prospect. One of the best left-shot right defensemen I've ever seen. You know, Richard Mafrachuk and Darrin Hatcher were both left-shot defensemen that were a partner, and they could both play the offside. Now, some players can't. I think Dion Phaneuf's a better left-shot, right-side defenseman. But if you can find those players, then that's great. But it's trying to fit players in and when you don't have the ideal setup. And I think that's the key. If you can get it, then I like the fact that you have a left and a right.
Yeah, I think it's crucial. And the Oilers just, they've got so many left defensemen. And with the emergence of Davidson, and, you know, you've got Sekera, you've got Klefbom, you've got Darnell Nurse, do you think there's a situation, Craig, where you would contemplate moving Darnell Nurse?
No, listen, what they got to do is just start building their team. They got to move out players long before they move out Darnell Nurse. Unless, I qualify it, unless somebody's going to absolutely overpay for Darnell Nurse, which, okay, then you can't make me say no, make me say yes. So if that's the case, but I mean, Darnell Nurse is in the early stages of his career. You want to start trading that type of a player who I think is unique? Do it at your peril.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. They have front of $6 million men in Edmonton, Hall, Nugent, Hopkins, and Eberle. Who would you be the most leery of trading?
None of them.
None of them? You'd have no problem
None
trading any three?
Not one of them.
Okay. Why is that?
Because none of them have been in a Stanley Cup parade the last I looked. And I think they're all good players of varying degrees. I don't think it's about the players. I think it's about the team. As a group, they have had no part of success. Is that their fault? No, it isn't. But I'm changing it. So I wouldn't be leery of trading any. Hey, you got to get value. I'm not suggesting you just give them away. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I said this. I have no loyalty. If I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I have no loyalty to any of those players that have proven beyond a doubt that as a core that they have had zero success.
And that's fair. And I guess my question would be is if they've had zero success as a core, Craig, when they've been saddled with the worst blue line core over their entire duration of their career, how does that factor into your decision making?
But I'm going back to the team. It doesn't matter. By the time you get a core defenseman, they're going to be ready to move on anyway. At least, you know what? Like, it's not their fault, but you got to change things. Like, you know what? There's no loyalty to those guys. That's how I feel. And if you do, like, I'm not suggesting that they all have to go. I'm not suggesting that, but I am looking at making significant, because I believe, Jason, until significant changes are made, nothing's going to change for this team. Nothing.
Yeah, that's totally fair. It's hard to argue with that. So I guess my next question would be, of the three, who do you think has the most value around the league?
Taylor Hall.
What would
powerful winger, one of the best wingers in the league, one of the, you know, he adds a unique element of skill and power, and I think that there would be a lot of teams that are incredibly interested in him.
I don't doubt that. Do you think, like, when we look at when you trade the best player in a trade, it is difficult to win the trade? Is that how do you balance that fear factor as a GM?
Well, first of all, I don't think it should be about fear. I think it should always be about your team. What gives your team the best chance to succeed? Okay? So, like, what happens if you get two real solid players, a real solid defenseman and a real solid winger for Taylor Hall? Okay? You might not get the best player, but is your team better? I'll give you an example. We traded David Gagne. He was a center. We traded for Joe Nieuwendyk. So now all of a sudden we have Modano and Nieuwendyk. We asked David Gagne to go and play the wing, and he did. He went and played it. He played it with enthusiasm. And at the end of the day, he wasn't a natural fit on the wing. So now what we did is we went and we said, okay, it's not a fit here. It's not ideal for David. It's not ideal for our team. So we traded David Gagne for Benoit Hogue. And this is exactly what Doug Jarvis said. He said, David Gagne is a better player than Benny Hogue, but we're a better team with Benny Hogue. And that's what has to happen. This idea of winning trades and everything like that, start getting to winning games as a team and becoming a winning organization. And forget about winning trades, because the winning trades will happen when your team wins and nobody will worry about anything else.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. And you know what, it's a great analogy you make about having the too many centermen, because not every center who goes to the wing has success. Because there's a lot of people saying, wow, trade Eberle or Hall, but keep Nugent Hopkins because he's supposedly a better two-way player and you can move him or Drysdale to the wing. Well, you can move him to the wing. It doesn't mean either one of them's a better winger. So when you look at it just strictly in theory, by having Drysdale and McDavid, that Nugent Hopkins in theory, doesn't mean theory and practicality are the same, would seem to be the one that makes the most sense to trade for your team because you have two centers and you could use him to get a defenseman.
Well, you think so. They couldn't get Seth Jones for him. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
They tried.
That's fair.
So understand, again, we're going to go back to balance here. What improves your team? I look at Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and I'm not suggesting that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins can't play on your team. I like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I think he's a solid player. But where does he fit? And what can you get for him, and what team would be looking for that type of a player? And that becomes a real, real consideration when you're evaluating trades. And for me, it's no less so with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. while you can look at an ideal scenario or who the player you would ideally like to trade, it doesn't mean that that's going to give you the return that's going to improve your team in the most significant manner.
One final one for you. Jacob Trouba. Where do you rank, like, Seth Jones? Okay, so they couldn't get Seth Jones. Do you think Trouba is how much lower or even is he to Seth Jones in your book? And do you think you could get him for Nugent Hopkins? Would that be an overpay either way?
Not a chance. You're getting Jacob Trouba from the Winnipeg Jets for Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Not a chance.
Really?
Not a chance.
You think Trouba, so is Trouba equal to Jones?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I was just curious about that. Like, Trouba's having a down year, but there's a team, Craig, you talk about making your team better. They've got lots of right defense, and they got nobody that can finish.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, they got Nikolai Ehlers, who's a young player. I mean, they have Brian Little. They still have Blake Wheeler. I mean, they're going to add some players and everything. Remember, they have Mark Scheifele in the middle of the ice, and they have Brian Little. So what are they going to do? Trade Trouba, create a hole on the blue line, and then add Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? I don't think so.
Yeah, see, I'm not sold that Brian Little is the number one center that you can win with.
It has nothing to do with about whether they're not trading Trouba to create a hole on the blue line, Jason.
Well, they might have to, though, if they can, because they can't match the offense in the Central Division of those other top teams now, like Dallas, Chicago, St. Louis. I don't think they can.
Okay, I agree with you, but Ryan Nugent Hopkins isn't the answer.
Okay, fair enough. That's true. He's never.
I mean, Ryan Little's a good scorer. Brian Little's a real good scorer. He's a 60-point guy. I mean, if you're looking at Brian Little, I mean, why are you going to move guys in and around? Sometimes you got to strengthen your team in different areas. And Jacob Trouba, I'm not suggesting that you wouldn't trade Jacob Trouba, but if I'm Kevin Cheveldayoff, I'm not doing it for Ryan Nugent Hopkins.
But that's why I love having you on, buddy. Appreciate it. Who are you watching this weekend?
You know where I am? I'm in Erie, Pennsylvania. I'm watching North Bay play the Erie Otters tonight. Couple of real good prospects. North Bay's got a heck of a player, in my belief, in Cam Dineen. He should be rated way higher. He's gonna go a lot earlier than people may think. And then you got a couple of really good players here, Alex DeBrincat and Taylor Radish. I was in Windsor last night. Saw a real good game there with Barry. Tomorrow I'm going to watch Kitchener and Oshawa. I got lots of good games coming up here, and I'm real excited.
Well, I'm sure you'll be busy with that and the trade deadline coming up on Monday. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
For sure. Thanks.
Craig Button. Oh, he's got Oilers fans fired up. I love it.